Back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. And he answered an ad in the newspaper, and he went to the office where the address was listed. And when he arrived, he entered a large, busy office that was filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of a telegraph in the background. And a sign on the receptionist's counter instructed the job applicants to go ahead and fill out the form and wait until they were summoned into the inner office. And so the young man filled out the form. He sat down there with seven other applicants there in the waiting room. And after a few minutes, the young man stood up. He crossed the room. He went into the door, into the inner office. He walked right in, and naturally the other applicants perked up when he did that. And they were wondering what was going on. And they muttered among themselves, "We were here before him. What made him think he could just go right in here? Why did he assume that he could just go right into that office?" And they thought surely that mistake would disqualify him. Well, within a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming, but the job has been filled." Well, the other applicants, of course, began grumbling to each other, and one spoke up and said, "Wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job, and that's not fair." And the employer said, "I'm sorry, but all the time that you were sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours." None of you heard it or understood it. And this young man, and so the job is his. You know, we live in a world that is full of busyness and clatter. And just like that office, people are distracted. They're unable to hear the small, still voice of God. But he still speaks. And he still speaks to us. He speaks to you. Or is he speaking to you? Are you tuned into God's voice? Do you hear him when he speaks to you? Are you listening to him? This evening we're going to be studying the subject here, being tuned into God. We want to know how hearing God's voice. And I want you to see exactly how God speaks to you and how you can hear him when he does speak. You know, how many of you ever heard God speak to you? John 8:47 says here, "He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." And I'm certain by the end of the message, if you're one of God's children, you'll be more aware of the times when God is speaking and more aware when God is trying to speak to you. And if you're not one of God's children, then you'll be more aware of how you can become one and start to hear his voice. You know, the first thing you got to do to hear God's voice is to tune in to God. Don't tune out. You know, you can't hear God's voice unless you're tuned in to him. You know, it's a nice to have the ability to hear from God, but often we don't take advantage of all the technology that we have. You know, we right now are broadcasting on Codcast. We're beginning to take care of the technology that is available to us. And rightly we should. But we need to make sure that our built-in radar is tuned in to God. The other night, I don't know how many of you here experienced what we experienced down in our house. I know some of you did. We were without electricity for a while. And that's kind of... And not only that, boy, you're without communications now. You're so used to, like me, I'm checking the internet all the time. You know, I'm trying to keep in contact all the time. And suddenly it was all dark, and there was no internet for me, there was no TV. In fact, we had not really prepared for an outing, a light out like that would happen because of the wind. They told us a storm was coming through. We had been prepared. I would have had everything out ready. But didn't think about it with the wind. And so it kind of caught us off guard. Well, so while we were Well, you know, we just had some bare lights, and so we went ahead and fumbled around for a while, and we made a few calls with our cell phone and things like that, but realized it was just quiet in the house. And so I just went ahead and went to bed. And about that time, Peggy said something to me about, you know, we got one of those emergency radios. It's down there underneath your dresser. You want to get it out? Well, I really didn't want to get it out at that point. I was already in bed and I was comfortable. But this is it. And you know, it is handy to have this. And it is good to tune right in, isn't it? I could have had this out and I could have listened. In fact, they could have told me how many people are have without electricity. That'd been good. Good to know, and it's good to have. And by us, you know, it's got all sorts of fancy gadgets on it too. I think they gave me this as one of the family members gave me that as a Christmas present one year, I believe. And I got another nice little Christmas present. This is from one of my grandchildren on Christmas. Ashby gave me this fine little radio right here with the earphones. You know, this thing really works. I can listen to about any FM station in the area on this little thing. And it's a good little radio. But, you know, what makes it work is you got to tune it in, you know. I mean, it wasn't enough for me to have this stuff and have all these things available. I wasn't using this stuff, and I wasn't tuned in to what was going on. That's what we need to be with God, that we need to be tuned in with Him. And Samuel was tuned in with God, but Eli was tuned out. We see here in the first part of 1 Samuel 3, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Boy, we just ended the book of Judges, where it tells us that it ends on a very negative note. And we're picking up here in 1 Samuel on a negative note. Notice this. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The word of the Lord was precious. It's not because it wasn't on the air. It was because people were not tuned in. Now, there was an interview with a pro football player that stands out in my mind as we think of tuning into God. And the player told a sports reporter why he chose to go to a certain city to play ball. And he was honest enough to say that God spoke to him, and he responded back, in other words, I talked to God. And it was the late Reggie White, who at the time had just completed the terms of his contract with the Philadelphia Eagles, where he had made an all-star team almost every year that he became a professional. And after his contract with Philadelphia had been fulfilled, White, who was also an ordained minister, hence his name that they gave him as the Minister of Defense, had been free to sign with any team that he wished. And he had several offers that would have made him a very rich man. But when the decision time came, White shocked most football observers and many of his friends by signing with the team, which was located in the smallest city of all the National Football League franchises. It was the Green Bay Packers. And the reporter who was conducting the interview asked White how he had reached his decision to play for the Packers. And White said, I spent a lot of time praying about this. And one day as I prayed, I heard God say, Reggie, go to Green Bay. And so that's what I did. You know, White saw something in the way that the interviewer looked at him at that point. And so White said this. He says, you know, when you tell people you've been talking to God, they don't have any problem with that. That's praying. But if you believe in that sort of thing, it's okay. People will put up with that. But when you say that God talked to you, they think you're crazy or something. Isn't prayer supposed to be a conversation with God? And in a conversation, don't both parties talk? Throughout the Bible, you'll find men and women who share their story of how God spoke to them And the key to hearing the voice of the Lord has to do with the willingness to tune in to God's voice. There are also many instances in the Bible where individuals tuned out God's voice. And these individuals did not listen to what God was telling them, so they had changed their station away from God. There once were two men of God. One became God's honorable spokesman because he had tuned into God, whereas the other one tuned God out, and he paid the price for his actions, and he died in dishonor. The two are Eli, the fallen priest, and Samuel, who was the prophet of God. One man was a failure and the other man was successful. One finished poorly and the other finished strong. One tuned in and the other tuned out. Let's read this text again and from 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious. In those days there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of the God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. But the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. 1 Samuel 3:6 then. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called us other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." We have a real study in contrast here of individuals and how they responded to God. Eli had some sinful sons here. We see now the sons of Eli were sons of Beelah. They knew not the Lord. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. It says they were full of lust. They were full of ungodly things. They had selfishness. They had no respect for the things of God. And verse 18 here, Verses 22 and 18 says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. We see them in open sin." Verse 18, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod." And no doubt Eli's sons laughed at Samuel. They ridiculed him. Here's this child that's carrying on this service. And here they were in their sinful living. And we see this selfish disobedience that continues on here. And verses 22 to 26, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said to them, 'Why do you do such? Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of the father, because the Lord would slay them.' And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." We find that Eli here was overweight at this point in his life, and is because they had abused the sacrifices that had been brought. It says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Wherefore kick ye all my sacrifice, and at my offering which I have commanded in my habitation, And honorest thy sons above me to make thyselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. They would actually steal more meat than they needed. They would go on these binges like gluttons, and they would get fatter and fatter. And the truth is that they stole offerings that were meant for God, and they stole it from the people. And so there is, of course, a severe judgment that begins here. Beginning with verse 29 again, where it indicates to us, of course, the size of them. Verse 30, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And then verse 36, behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thy house. And so God removes him from office here. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thy house forever. And the man of thine on whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be consumed, consume thine eyes and to grieve thy heart, and all the increase of thy house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Now raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. And I'll build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thy house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's office, that I may eat a piece of bread. We see that the family, the whole family, everyone in Eli's family is going to pay the price, because Eli was not the father that he should have been. And for the sin that he and his sons committed there at the house of the Lord. But as for Samuel, of course, it tells us that here he's about 12 years old. He was sleeping. At first he thought it was blind Eli that was calling him. The old man may have been removed. He might have been set on the shelf. But Eli kind of remembered in the distant past when he had been faithful that there was a voice from God. And so it was that just for a little bit here, he was able to give some advice to Samuel to listen. And so here was the message from God to Samuel. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. You can see, even in the blessing of Samuel, how disgusted God is with what Eli did. Now, and Eli's inability to bring up his children, to raise his children, even at this point, even though they're adults, to at least try to curb their actions. But he left them alone to do these things before the Lord. And so the message from the Lord was then to Samuel, I'm going to use you. But to Eli, his message was one of doom. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is this thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be the prophet of the Lord. He was faithful to deliver them the message, though it couldn't have been pleasant, you know. What would we do? Could we deliver a message like that? Here's a 12-year-old boy talking to old Eli, the man who had been the priest for a long time. Could he deliver the message of truth? Well, he did. Could we, if we'd been in the same position, could we have delivered a message of truth? How could a priest like Eli miss the mark? You know, he made some crucial errors. First, there was a wrong emphasis. Eli emphasized teaching his colleagues and his clients and not his family. He addressed his sons, but he didn't do it to correct them. He saw it and he ignored it. He pretended that he would go away. And when he addressed his sons, they did not listen to him, and Eli did not make them listen. And so the result of Eli putting his head in the sand caused his ears to tune God out more and more. And this, of course, eventually led to his demise and his family's demise and eventually the nation's demise. Years ago, one of the meetings that I went to, that was a minister's meeting, there's a rather large group. I knew no other minister in that group. But as I was listening to the one gentleman make his presentation, the one thing that he said to me that stayed with me, and I had it over by my office desk for years, it said, "No success in the pulpit can make up for a failure at home." There are a lot of pastors that should have taken that to heart. People often joke about the pastor's children and what they become and how they become and things like that. They're really no different than anybody else's children. They shouldn't have any other pressure put on them than anybody else's child in any other home. But sometimes pastors, in their thought process of serving the Lord, of going here and there, forget that they have children at home. And while many will give them accolades for what they're doing and for the work that they're doing, there is something that is missing in their home, and that's their father. But the same can be true of many lay individuals. So busy in trying to gain the things of this world that they're missing the time with their family. And then they wonder why the children go off in the direction that they go off. Why they refuse to honor them. Why, when it comes Mother's Day or Father's Day, they don't hear from them. Why they speak quick and short to them. They'll only do those things that they were taught in the home. And no denying it will make it not true. Eli, at least, had the ability to admit that it was true, that he had failed. And it happens when we fail to tune into God. It affects our lives, our family's lives, and our national lives. There was a problem here with the wrong expectations. Eli thought his sons would get it just because they lived in the house of the Lord. We think the same thing, don't we? Just because they're around us, they ought to get it. They ought to understand it. Doesn't work by osmosis. It works by example. And so they had the wrong example, though. Eli failed to live out in his home what he had taught in his work. He tuned God out. And it's no wonder that his boys never, ever tuned in. We have no indication that they ever, ever had tuned into God. And there's the wrong entanglements. Eli got so caught up with his profession, he blinded himself to his failure. We must keep God first, family second, ministry third. You know, Eli tuned out, and he was too busy listening to worldly stations of the day. Stations like Materialism 101.5 FM, or Indulge Yourself 95.9, or Killing You Softly 86.3, or Party Hardy 108.1. He proves you'll never make it to church if you keep hitting the snooze button. Sins of Your Father, the Golden Oldies, 93.7. The All World Station of 66.6. The Power of the Air parodies. This so-called Christian rock of Van Halo. The Twisted Scripture, the Deaf Shepherd. And in the end, Samuel dies with all Israel mourning his death. What a testimony to this man. How he lived before God. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in the house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. To be missed that much. Apparently Samuel was one godly man. Respected in the whole nation. That they should have lament over what they lost. Eli, on the other hand, died in dishonor because he had tuned God out of his life, which contributed to the nation losing the presence of God and his blessing. 1 Samuel 4, and there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And Eli heard the noise of the crying. He said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, and they could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines. There hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. All that happened to the nation because Eli was not tuned into God. Because Eli couldn't take care of his family. Eli died in dishonor and out of favor with God. What a terrible epithet. So the two men, Samuel and Eli, one listened and one didn't. Which one would you be?